we just weren't sure how we were going to weather it.
We're going to be in a much better position to meet a higher customer demand than what we currently are.
Well, it's amazing how much more people eat.
You talking about when they're quarantined?
Yeah, that's right.
Our average week, we usually have about 35 restaurants that order, right?
Right.
And so we have a book of 45 to 50, but they don't order every week. So we dropped immediately to three restaurants. Three.
Whoa. Now,
and even that, it was, I think, you know, two of those were probably just to try to help us out.
Wow. So, okay. And the restaurant, that revenue is your core business, right? I mean, that is the bulk
Correct.
Of your revenue. Okay. Wow. Okay.
That is 90 plus percent of our revenue.
Whoa. Okay. So that's a huge hit off the bat. Wow.
That is.
Okay. So, man, so what are you guys, I know we talked a little bit earlier off, you know, before we recorded, but so what are you guys doing like right now? You're just shutting the doors and saying, you know, until the restaurants come back, or are you trying to do some diversification? Is there a way for you to go back to the bank?
So a couple different avenues there. First, it took a couple days just to allow us to work through mentally,
yeah, process.
All right. We have been significantly hammered, right? We've spent so much time over the years of me working while doing, you know, trying to farm, you know, early mornings before going to work or in the evenings or after work. My wife with the kids, she's doing a ton of stuff with the farm. I'm just saying, hey, like everything we put in, it's not like we're going to start at square one, but when you're going through it, that's what it feels like, right?
Yeah, all the time.
There's some grief, yeah. And so we went ahead and after a couple of days said, all right, what are our options? And one of them was going back to the bank. So I did reach out to them. But they're going through a lot right now, too, with all the stimulus that's going through. So it took a week or so for them to get back to me. And then the other is my wife, who's amazing. She went ahead and opened up. For years, our customers from the farmers market has asked us for being able to go ahead and buy from us during the off season.
Right.
So we do supply a couple of the, you know, grocery stores or whatever, but they wanted it to, you know, directly from us. And we haven't been able to because we've been at capacity for so long.
Oh, and now that completely dropped.
We really
off.
Couldn't grow,
right?
And now that completely dropped off. So she shifted it really fast and opened up an online ordering portal,
okay,
through our website that they can go ahead and do that, and then they can go ahead and pay straight through. You know, it's tied into Square, so they can go ahead and pay through that. And then we set up multiple delivery points on Saturday. But even then, our farmers market portfolio was so small comparatively that really still only recovered about 20% of our sales.
Wow. Okay. Because when I met you guys, you were at the Greenville market, which I'm sure it took a year plus just to get into there, because I think there's a waiting list. And I literally...
There is a waiting list, yeah.
I got off the phone, I think it was after I tried to call you this morning. I talked to Hurricane Creek Farms. You know the guys over there?
Oh, yeah.
They have pivoted amazingly because, you know, a lot of their core business is restaurants as well. But they have... Mm-hmm. And of course, they've got a store and they've got a shop and they said they can't keep stuff on the shelves because people are buying their meats and buying their, I think they've got strawberries right now, and their lettuce is coming in, and they're all aquaponics. So it's all inside. So, so they have, I mean, he said he really hasn't seen that big of a drop off from his restaurant sales to converting to the foot traffic. They just have been amazed at the amount of foot traffic that they're getting now. But they built up, I guess, that core at the farmer's market with people coming by their stand. And them. I mean, he told me a story where he had, I think he was 300 or 400 pounds of tomatoes. And within a couple of hours, it was gone at the market. But he has pivoted really well. And, you know, they have employees, too. I'm surprised that there's not a huge consumer demand because he says, you know, their greens are going off. I mean, they can't keep enough, but people aren't really thinking about microgreens in the same way.
They do not. And you know, that's something that we've learned. Cause obviously you have to reflect on what were the points that we may have done better. And one of the things is being very, very understanding that our concentration risk was huge, right?
Right.
It's a very niche market.
Right.
High-end restaurants. Well, when they, I mean, they're, yeah, they're doing to-go orders, but they're not garnishing their to-go orders, microgreens,
no,
right?
No.
And although we, you know, like if anyone that's listened to your podcast are probably well aware that the benefits of microgreens from a micronutrient standpoint is immense, right? So although it's healthy, you're not going to take a trip to go get, you know, a 1 or 2 ounce package worth of microgreens.
No, you're right. Yeah, like, you want, you know, so, right. Yeah. If it's there when you're picking up other vegetables, then yeah, you'll add it to the mix, but you're right. You're not going to make a custom drive out to the farm to go pick up microgreens. But wow. So it's a different story. It's a different story than what Hurricane Creek is going through. So I guess, yeah, if you boil it down for our listeners as to, first off, what can they expect from you guys and how can they help support you? And then what is the go-to market, I guess, remarket strategy that you guys are employing kind of coming out of this quarantine situation and as business start picking up again?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So the good, I don't want to say good news out of this, but the good news out of this is that we are getting ready to transfer, because our barn is being built right now, and we're getting ready to transfer our shipping container and all that over. So that also went into our decision to stop operations, because now I can go ahead and shut everything down, pull everything out, move it over, build it back out again over the next few weeks. And then we'll start growing. Like my expectation is restaurants will start opening up again in about a month.
Right.
Probably at a reduced capacity, you know, a smaller capacity. So I'll be able to start coming back online slowly. So we've definitely wanted to let our community know, our customers know that, hey, no, we're not permanently shutting down. We're fine because of, you know, thankfully going back to my bank job and that we were trying to figure out how to work around not shutting anything down to move it over. So that was including buying some extra equipment to help bridge that gap for a little bit,
right,
that we don't have to buy. So there is a blessing of us being able to move the operation.
Yeah.
Without impacting any of our customers.
Wow, no,
we don't have any right now.
That is a true, you know what I mean? Silver lining. Yeah, because you're in an industry right now that is being heavily sought after because a lot of the local banks are being needed to support businesses and to provide money to sustain businesses. At the same time, you've got a business that's in transition, and it's a perfect kind of break. So you're not losing revenue from orders and everything else. You actually get to start fresh in a way. But at the same time, you're providing a service at the bank that the entire country needs. They need local banks right now to process all these different loan applications and everything else that is coming from the SBA. So it's, wow, if you talk about a silver lining, there is a silver lining in your story. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it doesn't make you not want to pull out your hair, but it's good to know that you won't have to, because you know that there is light at the end of this tunnel. And I guess that's the message I would get to or provide to our listeners, is that even though you're going through a lot of hardships, you have figured out and have worked a plan out that's actually going to be quite beneficial long term. It's just you got to get through the bumps and the bruises right now. So if there's
a
parting message, what would it be to our listeners about, you know, what we're all going through during this quarantine and what they can expect? What are some words of wisdom that I'm sure you'd like to share?
No, one is just a sense of gratitude because the people that came together to help support us and wanted to support local businesses and us as a farm, local farm, right? That has been an incredible showing, I will say that. We could have chosen just to shut it down, get fearful, and only just, you know, have a standard job again. But there is opportunities to continue to look for that, like you said, is coming out of this. We're going to be in a much better position to meet a higher customer demand than what we currently are.
Yeah.
Because our not only are we going to be, you know, microgreens, we're going to have a much larger flower selection, along with we are going to be able to get into some of the more exotic baby style greens and things like that. So yeah, we're excited about that piece.
Wow, that's awesome.
I mean, in anything, you know, any hardships create opportunity, if as long as we, you know, keep looking for them.
Yeah. Well, and I call them battle scars. You actually go, ooh, you know, yeah. you can show people your battle scars. You've done it. You've proved it. You've tested it out. And I mean, it's not like you don't know what you're doing. You've actually walked through the fire and came out the other side. So.
I'm Jesse Adkins at Hurricane Creek Farms. We grow our produce hydroponically in greenhouses. We do tomatoes, cucumbers, bell peppers, lettuces, and strawberries.
Oh, that's right. You guys started the strawberries just, what, last year, the year before?
Oh, yeah. This is our third year we're working on it. And then we do our stone ground corn mill and grits. So we have three different varieties of corn that we grind.
And how are you guys coping with the whole kind of shutdown of all the businesses and the restaurant? I know you guys had a huge restaurant business. Tell me what's going on right now at the farm in terms of that.
Well, the restaurant's pretty well gone away. We got a couple that are having small orders, but we're dealing with the locally here. But our indoor farm sales here have exploded for us. So they've made up for the difference almost. Not quite, but almost.
So you have a lot of people coming by and stopping by the farm?
Yeah. Yeah, we got the people from the downtown Greenville market and the Anderson market. We participated with Forks in, and since those markets have been closed, they've been coming here to us. And then we got a lot of local people coming in that have found out about us, and everybody's looking for locally grown stuff. So.
And are your strawberries, are they year-round? And I know when I went on the farm tour, you guys did tomatoes kind of differently than everybody else because of the restaurant. So have you guys changed your whole growing cycle now?
No, we're still adhering to it. Our tomatoes are from basically end of October till usually the end of June. Then we shut down, disinfect, clean out, and start all over again. Strawberries typically we pick from probably mid-October till June, if all conditions are right. This fall was a little bit warmer than what it usually is, so we lost some of the ability to pick then.
But it's indoor, right? Or is it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're all in greenhouses.
Okay, and the greenhouses kind of give me the dimensions and the lay of the land, because I remember it was, they're fairly big.
Yeah, we got about 18,000 square feet under plastic in four different greenhouses. We currently have three of them in production. Our tomato house is about 7,000 square feet. Strawberry house is somewhere around 3,000 square feet, and lettuce house is about 4,500. And we have another greenhouse that's about 3,000 square feet.
Wow. And have you guys expanded? Because you said you've gotten a lot of foot traffic now. Have you guys expanded your ability to service like the folks coming in?
Oh, we're trying to keep up with them. Yeah, we do our Angus beef, and then we have some pork products here, and it's just overwhelmed us with that response to people needing that. And right now we're just running real low on those products.
So give me a lay of the land as far as everything that you have to offer right now, and then what you kind of foresee happening in the next few weeks. Obviously, you've got things on the vine, and then you've got, with the lettuce, you're constantly, I'm sure you've got succession planting going all the time, but what do you guys have going on right now?
Yeah, we have lots of lettuces coming in. Our tomatoes have slowed down a little bit since we picked so heavily on them for about 3 weeks constantly there. They're sort of catching their breath out right now, but we got some heirloom type varieties that will be coming in probably in another 2 or 3 weeks to b bolster their production there. Lettuces, we're doing four different main varieties, and then we've added a spicy lettuce blend that has several different varieties in it, and we're planting somewhere around 300 heads a week right now. We may boost it on up as summer comes along because nobody around here can grow lettuces outside in fields. So.
No, it's pretty darn tough. And then, have you had any issues with your seed supplies or in getting anything from a distribution standpoint because of the shutdown?
No, we haven't had a problem there. It may be a little slower getting here than ordinarily, but we haven't had a problem with getting our supplies in.
And for folks who don't know, I mean, you guys aren't like a large operation in terms of staffing. C correct me if I'm wrong. It's a very small staff that is doing a lot of work. Is that right?
Yeah, it's basically family. Yeah.
So it was like four or five of you guys, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think you had some older kids or you had some college age kids. Have they come back now, and are they like full time since they can't
No,
go to
they're not
school?
full time. No, they're all graduated from all that. They're in their mid-30s, so and up. So, yeah, they're available to between their full-time jobs to come in here and help out a little bit.
Wow. So what is your take? You're a local farmer here in the upstate. What's your take on everything that has kind of transpired in the past, gosh, month and a half? What give me your perspective as a farmer.
Well, it's amazing how much more people eat.
You talking about when they're quarantined?
Yeah, it's they're just wiping us out on the meat products and our tomatoes, and lettuce sales have really picked up, and right now it's strawberry season, so it's pretty outstanding on that. So.
So you guys have kind of obviously pivoted just a little bit in terms of how customers can get in touch with you. I think a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that people don't want to go to the grocery stores. And so they're like, I'd rather go to a farmer and get in, get out, than to go through a line and then have to go through the aisles and then have to deal with the whole 6 feet apart and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
How can customers, what's the best thing customers can do if they want to purchase from you as a local farmer? I mean, do we go online? Should we call? What should they do?
Well, if you want our cornmeal and grits product shipped, you can come online and place an order, or you can call ahead and we'll try to have things together for you before you come, so it'll limit your time that you have to be exposed to other people.
Just give me a kind of a, I know this is going to sound silly, but a 30-second bio on Hurricane Creek Farms and how you guys got started and how you ended up where you were.
where we came from. Basically, I was doing landscape design installation, learned about some hydroponic tomato growing up in Chesney, and studied it a little while. And then we bought the gentleman out about 15 years ago, put in our greenhouses, moved some of his equipment down here, and he helped us out getting established. And then we've gradually added lettuces and tomatoes and the corn milling grits, and everything sort of taken off from there with different aspects of the business.
And I guess, and the big thing I know when we talked about it was you guys do tomatoes, and it's not unusual for you guys to have 300 pounds of tomatoes at the Greenville market, the TD Saturday market, and it to be wiped out within hours. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair to say. Yeah.
And would you agree that a lot of customers who know you now is a result of being at the farmer's market?
Yes, that's fair to say too, because a lot of people got a taste of it, and since we are producing out of season, and they can come to us out of season and get the same product as what they would get through at the market there and through the summer from other growers.
Awesome. And then if you have a final parting thought for everybody that's out there, what would it be?
Oh, go visit your local farmers and support them, and any restaurants for the takeout order, support them and try to keep them in business.
Prior to COVID-19, we were definitely expanding, really looking forward to the growing restaurant scene, and had about 80 to 85% of our weekly sales direct to restaurants. So that was going great, doing very strong, getting a lot of good publicity through that, as well as there were several local chefs who were becoming very involved in the local food scene. Which was excellent to see, just both for the health of the local food scene, but then also it's a way that we can continue to influence and shape our culture. Unfortunately, when COVID hit, restaurants were hit especially hard. And this is something that we just weren't sure how we were going to weather it, especially with such a large percentage of our farm being focused specifically towards restaurants. But thankfully, we had an online platform already to sell produce. So that gave us a good springboard to pivot well to direct-to-consumer sales. That has been really pivotal, and it has actually completely replaced our restaurant sales, which right now only make up about 3 to 5%. So that extra almost 80% has completely been taken over just with direct-to-consumer sales, whether it's a CSA program, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture. We've had so many more people coming to our website. And then we're also offering a home delivery service of produce, especially to those who are in need, a little bit more at risk to the coronavirus, just to continue to, as much as possible, provide healthy produce to the people in our community who are desperate for it. We did not. So that was something completely new and something that was asked for by a lot of people, especially since even in Greenville, Southern Greenville, such as Five Forks and the Simpsonville area, is somewhat of a food desert area pertaining to local farms and access to local produce. Very much so. And it's those type of people who have reached out to us. We were also thankful early on with the coronavirus when it hit. We had three different news stations, the WYF at 4, Fox Carolina News, and Channel 4 News, all reach out to us and do a small news segment on us. That really also helped to increase our publicity and outreach to people. And after those, that all happened within a week of things starting to shut down. And the traffic on our website increased tenfold within 2 weeks after that. So it, even through that, it's neat to see how the local news media has done their part as well in enhancing and trying to help local farmers as much as possible. And through that, because we already have the infrastructure and the delivery system in place, we've also been trying to partner with other local farms who might have a different product that complements what we have. Or like Oil and Vinegar downtown Greenville. Downtown Greenville is such a different place now. You're used to seeing bustling crowds, a lot of tourists, constant activity on the streets. And you go down there right now and there's just absolutely nothing. And Oil and Vinegar, Vera is the owner over there. Such sweet folks. And we were just thinking, hey, what an excellent opportunity to take their oils and vinegars for salad dressing and offer it to our customers. So it's actually worked out very well. We are offering a limited amount of items that they offer direct on our website. So if you go to our website at growinggreenfamilyfarms.com, you can see three different salad dressing couplings that they have. Another thing that is exciting that they're offering is it's challenging right now with COVID-19, but afterwards, we deliver the salad dressings in reusable glass jars. So when COVID is over, take those direct to them, actually get a discount to get those refilled. Thus, hopefully, continuing to, after COVID, increase the number of people coming directly into their store. So, That they are. The CSA format is quite convenient for a farmer, especially early on in the season, because it's the community coming together, different households, and buying a share of the produce that we're growing. Oftentimes, this is for a set duration of time. So our CSA program is 12 weeks long. So these people are paying up front for 12 weeks of produce. What that does for us as a farmer is it provides cash capital early in the season to get the different supplies, possibly fix some different pieces of equipment that have deteriorated over the winter, and just give us a good spring platform, especially since with small businesses, cash is truly king, unfortunately. So having that cash flow early in the season, well, yeah, being able to ensure that you're getting 12 weeks of local, sustainably grown produce is absolutely incredible. We out prior to COVID with only 6 TSA members. It was very small. And since then, we're now up to 43 CSA members. So that is correct. Certainly. So we have two different farm locations. One is in the Anderson area, very close to Pendleton, South Carolina. And the second location is in West Greenville, just out of downtown Greenville, South Carolina. Right now, we've been harvesting close to about 1,000 pounds of produce each week, and which during COVID, we were very, it was an uncertain marketplace. We weren't sure if we would be able to move this product. So we're actually already setting up some different lines that needed to just like donate the produce that's needed. But it was incredible to just watch the local community come together. And we have actually been having supply issues, which is really mind-boggling considering the sheer volume of produce. That is correct. And another awesome byproduct from this is we were also concerned about just our current staff that we had. So looking into, okay, do we cut back hours? But because of the increase in demand, we've actually hired 3 more individuals within the last month and a half. So that is correct. And now, indeed. And we're actually looking at hiring a couple more individuals just because with how the community, it almost seems like our local culture is really pivoting hard to desiring more local. And I don't necessarily see that trend changing after COVID-19 ends. So being able. Not a problem. So the biggest thing for us is restaurants are just starting to open again. And we want to be sure to serve them well because we have spent a long time nurturing and culturing a relationship with them. Part of this will naturally be entailed with needing to grow more, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, I should say, which will result in additional labor force needed. So by continuing to pivot and be prepared for that change, we're hoping to be able to not only maintain our current CSA members, like you said, it oftentimes result in a lifetime membership, but also be able to serve our restaurant community well as well. That is correct. Owner with my brother-in-law, so he does more of the operational side of things, and I do some more of the business management, which has been incredible, just enabling us to really focus on specializing where we're at in the business. It is collective, and we actually try to have as much input from our employees as well, just so that we are acting as a unit and able to pivot as a unit as much as possible. So ultimately, after we vote on it, we do end up, Chris and I will sit down and end up discussing it, making the final decision. But just having the active participation is really neat to be able to not only make our employees feel more vested in the company, but also just keep us in unity. And that's been incredible during this time, especially where so many changes have occurred in such a short period of time. The biggest one was the introduction of home delivery, because at first they were sporadic and far apart. And that's challenging because it's a lot of time on the road and not time in the field where we are most efficient with our time. So, once we figured that out, we were able to actually pivot well and just become a little bit more organized, a little bit more streamlined, both from that, but then also another big issue we ran into was CSAs. Managing 5 or 6 CSAs a week is a breeze. It doesn't require a lot of planning, but all of a sudden when you jump up to 42, that's a lot more product that you have to organize and have situated, especially amongst other deliveries that are coming in. I do the field side, but in terms of the actual packaging of the CSA shares, it's actually my younger sister, Anna. She has become our chief packager, has streamlined the operation, especially since we have 2 different share sizes, a large size and a small size, which complicates it. Anytime you have another variable, it does complicate the overall process. But she's been doing an excellent job. We could not work without her. And then frequently, Chris, I've been managing a lot of the Greenville location and Chris more of the Anderson. So we're in constant communication. We're like, hey, we have 42 units of this particular product that we can offer into this week's CSAs. And then the neat thing is my wife works for the Greenville Public Library, which is currently shut down. So during this time, she has also been able to step into some really key roles in the business, such as structuring our newsletters, keeping constant involvement with the customers, offering recipes with the CSA program. And it's been really neat to see the positive reaction to that value-added perspective to our share. actually fairly low, as we were dependent on the restaurants so much. But right now, our overall expectation is that the overall demand for local product is going to be higher now than ever before, both at the flea markets, direct-to-consumer sales, home delivery services, and CSAs, to the point where I don't know if locally we actually have enough produce being produced. So it's interesting to see that and to consider that, especially since even last year we were literally selling out at the market out of several of our larger products. So I think we have high expectations for the season ahead. But at the same time, we are trying to be cautious, for easy to get overly excited and put more eggs towards certain baskets, but continuing to maintain diversity. And that's been one thing that's been eye-opening with this. We had a lot of eggs in that restaurant basket, but to be able to diversify that a little bit now and see where that has led is pretty amazing and encouraging. Sure. So they can reach out to us through our website, growinggreenfamilyfarms.com. My personal cell, I always have on, so they can reach me at that, which is 864-309-2474. Otherwise, we're also on Instagram and Facebook to continue to try to stay connected, and all of our events on farm will be posted there as they come to fruition, which we're really excited about that, both in terms of continuing to teach people how to grow things themselves. We've been participating in different extracurricular activities, such as how do you grow produce without the use of pesticides in a state where it seems like we have every insect known to mankind. So we definitely see that pivot continuing to go strong as COVID-19 comes to a close. And so, yeah, just stay connected. Social media will be the first place. But then also we have a sign-up sheet on our website to connect to our newsletter. You do not need to participate to our CSA to participate in that. Our website also has the order links to purchase, if you're interested, any of our produce or the produce of the affiliated organizations that we continue to support locally. To continue to have faith that, hey, if we pull together, we can make it through anything. And I think this is an excellent opportunity with COVID-19 just to see how local communities do continue to pull together, offer resources to each other. We have countless stories I could share pertaining to this, whether it's individuals in the community who have come to actually just help on the farm or being able to provide food, fresh produce to families in need. To continue to watch out for each other. But that the stormy days will come, but the sunshine always shines after that. We definitely understand this analogy greatly as a farm, as we need the rain showers. But when the sunshine comes, that's when the fruit of the labor starts to come to fruition. So I'm hoping that through COVID-19, we'll see much of that.